Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for bringing us into your presence, Lord. We ask, even as we go into your word, Lord, we ask, Lord, you will bless us. We will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. As many that come sick, Lord, they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You can have your seat. Welcome every one of you to this service tonight. It's my heart desire and prayer that every expectation that you have come with, that God will meet you at the point of that need in the name of Jesus. You will not go back the same way you came in the name of Jesus. I want to thank God for this privilege. It's a rare privilege. I want to thank God. Then secondly, I want to thank our Father in the Lord and our Mother for this privilege. And also, I want to thank our resident pastor and his wife for this privilege also. And I want to also thank all the pastor. I honor your grace and I connect to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to start by saying, God is not glorified when we are sick. God is not glorified when we are afflicted. He's not. He does not glorify in our sickness, in our afflictions, in our bondage. No. The Bible says, for this very purpose, Jesus manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that is to tell you that it's not his way that any of us should be sick. For this very purpose, he left heaven and came. For this very purpose, that we may be good, that we may be in good health. That is the very purpose why Jesus manifested. He said he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Anywhere you see oppression, he manifested. Anywhere he sees sickness, he manifested. And he, that is his will, his perfect will. God does not use sickness to punish. No, some of us thought, why I'm sick, why I'm going through this is because of my sin. No, that is the lies of the devil. When the leper met Jesus, he said, if you are willing, you can make me heal. If you are willing. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be that healed. So I want you to know that it is the will of God for us to be in good health. It is the will of God for us to be healed. That is his will. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to talk on the topic, double jeopardy. Double jeopardy. This is a legal terminology. Thank God we have our resident pastor wife here. She can explain more to us the meaning of double jeopardy. Hallelujah. Let's open to Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Praise the Lord. Say, affliction will not rise the second time. That is the will of God. That is the purpose of God. God wants to put an end to every affliction in your life. It's not the will of God for affliction to rise the second time. No. It's to put an end to it. These promises of God carries three meaning, three spiritual meanings of affliction cannot rise the second time. Number one meaning is permanent deliverance. That is when God involves to heal, to deliver, or restore, the victory is total. The root cause of the struggle is destroyed, so that the pain, the sickness, the misfortune does not return. That is one of the first meaning of affliction shall not rise the second time. God permanently deliver you. He goes to the root cause and deal with the root. It's just like when you see a tree, you can cut it from the leaf, you can cut it from the stem, or you can uproot it. So when God says affliction shall not rise again, he goes to the root and he uproots everything that is causing affliction and misfortune in your life. And I see that happening to someone in this meeting in Jesus' name. God is going to your root. Whatever has disturbed you, has afflicted you, has caused sickness and disease, God is going right to the root and uprooting them out in the name of Jesus. The second meaning of affliction shall not rise again. No repeated cycle or patterns. No repeated cycles or pattern. It serves as a declaration against family or generational pattern, repeated obstacle, repeated setback, or chronic cycle of failure. So when God says affliction shall not rise again, he has to deal with repeated cycle, what is called pattern, family pattern. He makes sure he destroys them forever. That's the second meaning of affliction shall not rise again. God deals with patterns. He deals with circles, with trend, either in your life, in your family, whatever it is, there with it forever. Then the third one is it has to do with the Assyrians. That's when the prophetic statement was said in Nahum chapter 1 verse 9. It has to deal with Assyria. That Israel will destroy the Assyrian forever and they will not rise again. But where I want to focus is on the fourth one, what is called double jeopardy. Double jeopardy. What is double jeopardy? It's a procedure or a defense that forbids a defender from being tried again or on the same or similar charges following a legitimate acquaintance or conviction. What he's simply saying is this, that nobody is allowed by the law to be tried twice for the same crime, for the same offense. Nobody in the law, even in the natural law, is not permitted, is forbidden, is against the law that you should be tried twice for the same offense. For the same offense. Nobody. Once you are tried once, either you are convicted or you are free, or you are acquitted or free or convicted, you are not to be tried the second time. So that's why we say, the Bible says, affliction shall not rise the second time. I used to think maybe when the Bible says affliction shall not rise the second time, maybe it's talking about everybody. You are permitted to be afflicted once. That was the way I was thinking before. You are permitted to be afflicted once. You are permitted to be oppressed once. You are permitted to be sick. Then after that, no sickness again. But that is not what God is saying. That is not what God is saying. Because we are in Christ, God has taken our place. God has taken our place. So you are not even permitted to be afflicted even once. You are not permitted to be sick even once. You are not permitted. Because Christ has taken our place. Christ has taken our place. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. And when he rose, we rose. So we are expected to identify with the death and burial of Christ. For affliction not to rise the second time, you must identify what Christ has done. You must identify with the finished work of Christ. Christ is our substitute. He's just like the scapegoat. We committed sins, we committed havoc, we did a lot of things, we offend God, but God took our place. He took our place in the place of Jesus. And all the punishment, everything was poured on him. Everything. He was not forced to do it. He was a willing sacrifice. Willingly, he took our place. Willingly, he took our place. He was not forced. And everything, death, sickness, disease, affliction, was laid on him. He carried it. The Bible says he did not open his mouth. He did not complain. He did not complain. He bore everything on the cross. No wonder when Jesus died, the Bible said the curtain in the temple tore from up down. And God, we can see God as he is. We can see God as he is. No more secret. about God. Because his will and purpose have been revealed to us. And that is for us to be in good health. If you are sick, there is a limit you can glorify God. There is a limit. Even if you have it in mind to do it, you cannot. Your strength will fail you. Your body will fail you. So God can never use sickness to punish anyone. He can never use sickness to punish anyone. Sickness is a tool of the devil. God cannot use the tool of the devil. He cannot use it to correct us. No. Because sickness, disease, is after the fall. In the garden, it was not so. In the beginning, it was not so. So God's will is for us to be in good health. So whatever you are facing now, Jesus has already paid the price. And it was in full. He paid it in full. Everything. He paid it in full. I would like us to read some scriptures to establish that Christ took our place. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It says, surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He took our place. He died in our place. He was afflicted. He was afflicted. The Bible says he did not open his mouth. Not because of the wrong he has done, but because of the love he has for us. He has to bear everything. Even when they slap him, they say, who slapped you? He did not say anything. No. Because he wants to pay the price in full. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 5, verse 21. Colossians chapter 5. Or give me Romans 5:8. Give me Romans 5:8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm reading this scripture, all this scripture, just to establish that Christ died for us. According to the scripture, he died for us. He shed his blood for us, so that we will not be sick even for a day. So that we will not be sick. He died. He went to the cross. He endured the pain. He endured the shame. He endured everything. It's just that you have the power to do and undo. Your creation, somebody you created, will be slapping you, pulling your beard, but you remain silent. It's more painful than sometimes even the death. You know you can do. You know, but just doing your finger like this, the person will disappear from the earth totally. But you endure. They were whipping you. He was even naked. All because of you and me. All because of you and me. He endured to the cross. So it is expected of us to live in health. It is expected of us to maintain our health, our healing. He did all this for us. So to accept sickness and disease is an insult to the death of Christ. You must stand your ground. Even though if the thing is there, you can say, I am not sick. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let that be your confession. Even if around you, surround you, it seems as if it's not happening, you keep on confessing that I am he. I'm not sick. You know, some people will tell you, I will say it the way it is. No. Don't say it the way it is. Say what you want. Say what you want. It's even proud for the Bible, for the Lord to say you are healed, and you say I'm sick. It's proud. Some will say, okay, it's humility. No, it's not. It's proud in disguise. If God say you are healed, you are healed. Amen. If God say you are rich, you are rich. If he say you are strong, you are strong. You are not denying. You are just superimposing what God says upon the situation. So you keep on declaring the word. Keep on speaking the word. Keep on speaking. Keep on saying it. Keep on speaking. Keep on saying it. With time, you will see it. It's just like Elijah and his servant. He told his servant, go and watch the cloud. He went the first time, nothing. He went the second time, nothing. Third, up to the seven times. And he saw a hand, a cloud like the hand of a man. So you keep on saying, when you insist, when you keep on saying it, you will see manifestation. You will see it. You don't just say once and stop. No. Because saying it is part of warfare. You insist. And if you don't give up, you will see the result. If you don't give up, you will see the manifestation. It's God's way. That way should be healed. And it is his way that affliction will not rise a second time. Based on this established truth and the law of double jeopardy, Jesus has paid for your sin, your sickness and disease by his death on the cross. If you are convinced and that is your declaration, you cannot be tried and punished twice. If that is your declaration and that is your conviction, that Christ died for you, Christ took the sickness on himself, then you cannot be tried twice. Because it is against the law of double jeopardy that you should be tried twice. Christ has paid everything. So for you to be sick is forbidden. Because Christ was sick because of you. The sickness, everything was upon him. The Bible says, affliction shall not rise the second time. So you allowing sickness and disease, managing it, pampering it, is an insult to the death of Christ. It's just that you are telling Jesus, you have not done anything for me. He said, affliction will not rise the second time. It is forbidden for you to be sick. It is forbidden for you to be afflicted. It's against the law. So anytime sickness comes, you should challenge it. One thing with the devil is a lawbreaker. It doesn't obey law until you enforce it. He doesn't obey it. Even if he know that it's wrong for you to be punished twice, he will still come to see your reaction, what you will do. He's a lawbreaker. So when anytime sickness, disease, affliction stand your ground and speak to the situation and tell him that Christ has already paid. You cannot be sick. You cannot be afflicted. You cannot. You cannot. It's against the law to be afflicted twice. Because Christ has already undergone everything you can think of. Anything you can think of, any situation you can go through, Christ has already suffered it for you. So even God cannot punish you for your sin. He cannot. Because God punishes you just like he's a lawbreaker. And he cannot. He cannot. Because his son has paid. So you must rise and take your healing. Yours is just to reckon with the death of Christ. Just to reckon with the finished work of Christ. Reckon with it and stand on it and challenge the enemy. Challenge him. When you challenge him, he will flee. He may pretend from beginning as if nothing is happening. But when you insist, he has no option than to flee. He has no option than to flee. The law of double jeopardy is applied in this sense. Christ was punished for our sin. He was punished for our sickness, for our disease. Then God should not punish us again for sin. God will not punish us again for sin. Because we have passed from what? From death to life. We have passed from sickness to health. We have passed from disease to health. We have passed from slavery to freedom. Christ has completed his work. All that remains is to identify with him and his finished work for us. We should identify with him. He has taken your place. You take his place. Take his place. Take his place. You not taking his place is proud. Whatever he say you are, that's what you are. Whatever he say you are, that's what you are. Don't look at your experiences. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at what the word says. Affliction shall not rise the second time. So I don't know what you are passing through, what you are going through. Christ has already paid for it. I don't know what you are carrying. Christ has already paid for it. You are not supposed to carry it. You are not supposed. Don't manage it. Say, I'm managing this sickness. This sickness, they are our family. Now so with the same family. No. As far as you are a Christian, you have given your life to Christ, you are born again, then Christ has taken your place. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. When Christ died, this is what he did to us. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them. He took away everything that was against us, every handwriting, every ordinances that was against and contrary to us. He took it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. So there is nothing anymore. There is nothing anymore. They have taken it out of the way. Out of the way. No more sickness. No more disease. No more shame. No more calamity. He said he took it out of the way. And he nailed it to the cross. It doesn't matter the report you have received. Every report is a written report. Every negative report, they are written. So the Bible says, every handwriting that was against you, he took it. So it doesn't matter the negative report you have received or they have given to you. You may see it as a sentence of death. But Jesus said he took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. So the power to harm, the power to destroy is no longer there. So everything that is happening is just noise. It's just noise. It's just like I say, a toothless bulldog. Toothless. He will bark. And one thing with such dog is that they bark the larger, the louder, the loudest. They will bark, 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 bark. By the time you do like this, they have escaped. So it's time for you to chase the devil. It's time to place him where he belongs. It's time to place him. Rise up. Christ has taken your place. Take your place in Christ. And challenge every disease, every sickness. Let's be on our feet. I want to give you 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, talk to that situation in your life, in your family. I want you to talk to him and place it where it belongs. Every sickness, every disease, every affliction that you are going through, begin to talk based on this knowledge. This truth that you have got, begin to challenge them. That affliction will not rise the second time. They are not supposed to be there. Christ has paid. Christ has died. He has carried everything. Mashato kepiro dahata tuma. Iku patalobo sisepe inahato kapa. Rekupa aletu sebelende ikapa ataka. Eleko para papa susepe iaba. Rekupa isha patu ne ete ete. Rekapato nelegebo sisa palahe. Into pehito pae mahando hisha pala hatate. Amana mashasha. Eleke babaragata. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Liso parakata. Legomana kesusu. Bashupe kete kete. Elebo sisasa. Mando toto. Oh, we thank you. No more affliction. No more sickness. No more disease. Oh, no more calamity. Libu safaraka. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Romans 6, from verse 1 to 5. What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin? In order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we, who died to sin, live in it any longer? Now, verse 3. Are you ignorant of these? Of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, that every one of us who was baptized into Christ, being baptized into Christ means being born again. We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, So we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Glory to God. Now let's see verse 3 in the Passion Translation, if you can. What scripture is saying simply here is that when Jesus died on the cross, you and I died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. I think the Jerusalem Bible, I have a hard copy at home, says we were put together in the tomb with him. Are you following? You have the Passion Translation? Verse 3. So, when he died on the cross, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Let's read on. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried. Are you following? We're buried together and entombed with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Glory to God forevermore. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and a new life that it imparts. Glory to God forevermore. So when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now follow what I'm saying, very important. You know, often we have heard, which is true, we have heard and believed that Jesus died for us. He resurrected for us. Is that not so? But it's a different thing when you move with the consciousness that you actually died with him. That means, listen to me, we know that Christ paid for our sins, but you have also paid. Because when he was paying, you were there with him. When he paid for your sins, you were in him. So in the sight of justice, in the sight of God, your sins have been paid for completely. Your sins have been paid for completely. Glory to God. Pastor Rab really blessed me. I took note of two major things I will write about. You see, is that scripture in Nahum, I've always read it as, when something happened, it should not happen again. Affliction should not arise again. How many of you have been looking at it like that? Yes, whatever has happened should not happen again. Now, it is true, but see it in this light. What has happened is that you have paid for your sins. When Jesus died, you have paid for your sins. So, affliction should not arise again. When Jesus died, you paid for your sins. Therefore, it is illegal for Satan to bring affliction on you anymore. Because when Jesus died, you have paid for your sins. Through the sacrifice of Christ, all our sins have been paid for. Through the sacrifice, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know the Bible says by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. That means when they were flogging him, you were in him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When he died, you were in him. When he went to hell, you were in him. When he was buried, you were in him. And scripture said, when he resurrected, you were also in him. That means you have paid the price completely. Satan cannot accuse you. So, if sickness is coming, knocking at your door, is the devil seeking for permission to afflict you again for what you have paid for? You know, sometimes when you're even declaring boldly that Christ has paid for my sins, my sick days are over, sometimes some thoughts will even come to your mind, but you have not paid. Now you know you have paid. When he died, you have paid. Hallelujah. So the affliction should not arise anymore. When he died, you have paid. That is why he said it's double jeopardy. Because it's illegal for a man to pay for the same crime twice. Whatever has been paid for has been paid. Glory to God. It's illegal to pay for the same crime twice. To move with that consciousness, when symptoms comes around you, declare boldly, affliction shall not arise again. Because you have paid. When the devil brings thoughts to you, maybe you are paying for your sins, tell him, affliction shall not arise again. In Christ Jesus, the price has been paid in full. In Christ Jesus, the price has been paid in full. In Christ Jesus, the price has been paid in full. Hallelujah. Once again, can we thank God for our redemption? Thank him for the price that has been paid in full. Thank him for our sick days are over. The price has been paid in full. Our sick days are over. The price has been paid in full. Our sick days are over. Lord, we are grateful. Also, paria la katola pikatatae. And if there's anything wrong in your body, address the devil. That affliction shall not arise again. Affliction shall not arise again. If there is a negative pattern in your family, address it. It has happened before, it will not arise again. No affliction will arise again. Lord, we are grateful. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. So if you forget anything tonight, don't forget that affliction will not arise again. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rav. Glory to God. Amen.